Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody's always talking about me, Lord.
That's all right.
All right.
That's all right.
Somebody's always talking about me, so right.
Somebody's always talking about me. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Gospel Gold. I am your host, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so very glad you have joined us tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about Gospel Gold before we get into our program. Gospel Gold is not just a regular music program. It is a program with a purpose. We believe here at Gospel Gold that we are here to preserve the history of traditional African-American music as it pertains to the experiences of our people here on American shores. So we believe that of all the lavish gifts that Africa has given the world, the most and the unique is the combination of music and religion. Religion with rhythm. When the first African ancestors landed upon these American shores, they brought with them their African rhythm, their work songs, and their field hollows. These are the basic elements for the spirituals. It is rhythm that drives American music. Spirituals, and by extension, gospel, blues, jazz, ragtime, rock and roll, and even what we have today at rap today. The gospel music experience cannot be told in a short story. We know that. And even in a melody of songs, it's far too rich, smart, far too harmonious, far too stimulating. It is a living experience, always changing, always giving, always becoming the foundation that gave moral, physical, and spiritual support to a great and powerful people. So that's what we believe here at Gospel Gold. This is just not a regular music program. I am not a DJ. We are here to preserve the traditional sounds of our people as it pertains to the struggles and adversities that they had to overcome on these American shores. We express that in our music. We express that in the lyrics of our songs, in our poems, in our books, in our writings, in our art, in our dance. Everything we do is an expression of our experiences here in America. And we believe here at Gospel Gold that all the music that we have produced has its root in traditional African-American gospel music. So that's what we're about here at Gospel Gold. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. There you will find some of the articles about various gospel artists. You'll find some of the music that we play here on Gospel Gold. You'll also find a link for the program each week. All of the programs here on Blog Talk Radio are archived, so you have to go to the Gospel Gold Facebook page weekly in order to find the link for the program. We also would like for you to spread the word. Tell a friend. Tell your neighbors about traditional African-American gospel music. If you are a traditional African-American gospel music lover, you will love Gospel Gold. So we're just so very glad that you are here tonight, and we have a very special program that we intend to bring to you tonight. But before we start our program, we all want a prayer. If you don't mind, pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this medium. We pray, God, that something we say tonight or something that will be played tonight will encourage your people to keep on giving you the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray that all of you are safe and at home, away from this coronavirus that we're going through in the nation. Pray that you follow the instructions of our health officials. They pretty much know what's going on, so let's let them give us the guide as to what we should do next. And don't be in a hurry to go back out into the world. Amen. So I'm going to play a song, but I'm glad tonight that we have with us Dr. William Rogers. Our subject, and we're featuring tonight, Mr. Thomas Andrew Dorsey, who is called the father of gospel music. And I'm glad we have someone with us tonight who can enlighten us on Dr. Dorsey. Dr. William Rogers, retired professor of Africology at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Dr. Rogers has done extensive study in African and African-American history. He is the host of a radio program that comes on each Tuesday night, tomorrow night, each Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the Time for Awakening Network. That's the Black Reality Think Tank, Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. Those of you who may be in other time zones, you have to do the math on that. But he is 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday night, the Black Reality Think Tank on the Time for Awakening Network. Dr. Rogers is also one of the people who were very instrumental in making sure that Gospel Gold got on the air. In the early stages, it was just a dream, and he was the one that helped make this a reality. So we are very glad that we have Dr. Rogers with us tonight as we discuss this very important figure in gospel music. Dr. Rogers, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. How are you? Good evening. Good evening.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. I am wonderful, considering that all of the things that we are facing, but I'm wonderful.
Well, welcome to Gospel Gold.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really thank you for having me.
Dr. Rogers, could you, before we start, could you tell us a little bit about the Black Reality Think Tank as you lead into an introduction about Dr. Dorsey?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. And thank you so much. And like I said, I'm so proud of you and what you've been able to do with your network. But just a little brief intro, the Black Reality Think Tank is a historical research network, and it is designed to teach and to empower and provide information relating to the history of African-American people throughout the world. We use our radio broadcast that you talked about on Tuesday, and also we now do a weekend version on Saturday. We use our website and other forms of social media as a tool to support our mission. Our content and focus is the journey of our ancestors. Our goals and objectives is to understand the past, dissect the present, and support implementing a meaningful future for generations to come. So we ask you to join us on some Tuesdays or for Saturday. You can go to our Facebook page at Black Reality Think Tank, and you'll get an idea of some of the past programs that we've had, as well as look at some of the upcoming things and ideas that we are planning to do. So thank you so much for the opportunity, Reverend Rogers, to make that little introduction.
Yes, sir. No problem whatsoever. Now, could you tell us a little bit about Dr. Dorsey?
Yeah, this is a wonderful. I am so happy to see you doing this because he is a very critical figure. And he really, his life and his work speaks to the challenges of our spiritual life in our community. We sometimes it's a vacillating experience. Sometimes we do in and out, and very clearly, a man as powerful as Dr. Thomas Dorsey was not remiss from that. He led a very vacillating life, you know, in and out. He was born Thomas A. Dorsey, and as you said, he was known as the father of gospel music for his merging of religious music with the blues.
Mm-hmm.
He died on January 23rd at his home and of Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Dorsey's masterful musicology work is centered around his ability to infuse the blues, the ragtime, and church songs into what he eventually called gospel music. He wrote a lot of great gospel songs and classics, but some that we may be very familiar with. He wrote the song Peace in the Valley, and he also wrote the song Take My Hand, Precious Lord.
Yes.
Mr. Dorsey was a very successful blues musician at an early age, and he was a pioneer not only in just playing music, but he was a pioneer in black music publishing. That's another whole story of his life.
Yeah, it is.
But his
it
invention
is.
Of gospel in the early 1920s went on to have a tremendous influence, not only on black churches, but white churches as well. He was a very successful, as I said earlier, blues musician. He wrote more than 2,000 blues songs, including one famous 1928 hit called It's Tight Like That, which sold for over 7 million copies. But his main love was gospel.
Yes.
He contributed about 1,000 songs to that genre, and he was very well known in those ages as the leading voice of gospel music. He began experimenting with the gospel. Just sort of, as I said before, you know, a lot of those musicians vacillated between blues and gospel, but he experimented to sort of reconcile his inner conflict over his religious upbringing and his early love of the blues. He didn't want to get away from the blues. So according to his biographer, which was a brother out of Temple University by the name of Michael Harris, he said that was a real problem for Dr. Dorsey. Dr. Dorsey was born in Billerica, Georgia. He was one of five children of a Baptist preacher and his wife. So you can imagine what that was like for him to be a blues player to a black preacher. He began playing the piano and the blues professionally by age 12.
Yeah.
And sometimes he was working, check this out, he was working in bordellos to help support the family. We all know what a bordello is.
That's right.
Eventually, he took the stage name Georgia Tom. And he toured, check this out, toured with the singer Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. That was who he did. And in some circles, he was really known. He was also known as Barrel House Tom. And the Barrel House Tom came from the fact that he used to play in them small juke joints. Because prohibition was in place at the time, and, you know, folk were bootlegging liquor and making homebrew, and they did it in barrels. And so a lot of the folks used to call those barrel houses.
That was in the 1920s, right?
Major income, for sharecroppers and people that were struggling financially. So he took that name, Georgia Tom, and used that to tour with Ma Rainey. Eventually, he moved to Chicago and attended the Chicago Music College. And it was there that he coined the phrase gospel music after hearing a group singing on one Sunday morning. So in 1926, Dr. Dorsey composed his first gospel hit. The name of it was If You See My Savior, Tell Him That You Saw Me.
I got that.
His music, great. His music wasn't immediately accepted by the church because of his background, however. And Mr. Dorsey once joked that he had been thrown out of some of the best churches in America. but by 1968, things had definitely changed. And that year, his greatest hit, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, was sung at the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral. Back in 1931, Dr. Dorsey's wife, who was named Nettie Hopper, had died giving birth to their first child,
Dr.
Thomas Edward Jr.
Dr. Rogers, could you hold that right there? I'm going to come back to that. What I want to do is I want to take it in. How long can you stay with me?
Well, I can be finished now. And I just wanted. I thought you wanted me to give you a kind of detailed description.
Okay,
I'm good. You got the gist of what he was and what he wanted to do.
Yep. But I wanted to play something. I wanted to come back to you because I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Okay. I want to play If You See My Savior, one you just spoke of. And then I want to see another one called Hide Me in Thy Bosom. These were written around, like you say, 1932. I want to
right.
play those, and then I want to come back and I want to talk about that one particular song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Okay.
Can I do that?
All right.
Okay. All right,
sure.
Let's do that. Let's listen to a couple of his first recordings, If You See My Savior, and Hide Me in That Bosom. We'll come right back with Dr. Rogers, and we're going to talk about this moving standard in the gospel, in the black church. Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
I was standing by the bedside of a neighbor who was just about to cross the swelling tide. And I asked him if he would do me a favor, kindly take this message to the other side. If you see my Savior, tell him that you saw me.
That you saw me.
When you saw me, I was on my way.
I was on my way.
You may meet some old friend who may ask you for me.
Ask you for me.
Tell them I am coming home someday.
Coming home someday.
Though you have to make the journey on without me.
On without me.
It's a debt that soon or later must be paid.
It must be paid.
When you reach the golden city, think about me.
Think about me.
And don't forget to tell my Savior what I say.
Yes, what I say.
If you see my Savior, tell him that you saw me.
That you saw me.
When you saw me, I was on my way.
I was on my way.
You may meet some old friend who may ask you for me.
Ask you for me.
Just tell them I am coming home someday.
Coming home someday.
You may come across my father and my mother.
Mother one.
And the burdens of this life they may recall.
Oh, they may recall.
You may chance to see my sister or my brother.
Or my brother.
But please do try to see my Savior first of all.
Oh, first of all.
If you see my Savior, tell him that you saw me.
That you saw me.
When you saw me, I was on my way.
I was on my way.
You may meet some old friend who may ask you for me.
Ask you for me.
Tell them I am coming home someday.
Coming home someday.
Jesus, hear me pray. Hear the words I'm saying. Moist my soul with water from on high. A well of sin around me. Well, evil thoughts would bind me. My Savior, if you leave me, I will die. Thus hide me in thy bosom till the storms of life is o'er. Rock me in the cradle of thy love. Just see me till I want no more, and take me to my blessed home above. Lord, make my journey brighter, make my burdens lighter. Help me to do good wherever I can. Let thy presence thrill me, the Holy Spirit fill me. Keep me in the hollow of thy hand. Just hide me in thy bosom till the storms of life is o'er. Rock me in the cradle of thy love. Just leave me till I want no more, then take me to my blessed home above. Now faith I am maintaining, I go on uncomplaining. But before this time another year, my life may all forsake me, and death may overtake me. If I'm with you, I have no need to fear. Just hide me in thy bosom till the storm of life is o'er. Rock me in the cradle of thy love. Just feed me, Jesus, till I want no more. Then take me to my blessed home above.
Those are some of the first recordings of Dr. Dorsey. Dr. Rogers, we were talking about that earlier, recordings, how he mixed the jazz and the blues together to form gospel. That was an excellent example because you could hear all of that in there on those two songs. You were going to talk about the 60s with the Precious Lord Take My Hand. Could you talk about that a little bit?
The 60s, you said talk about the 60s?
Yeah, you were going to talk about Precious Lord Take My Hand.
I was just kind of talking about the origin of the song Take My Lord, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. As you know, Martin Luther King's, that was his favorite song, and Mahalia Jackson sang that at his funeral. But Mr. Dorsey's wife in 1931 had passed from childbirth, and she gave birth to their son, Thomas Andrew Jr. Dorsey wrote that song, Precious Lord, during that horrible time. As a matter of fact, the night she died, he was at a club playing blues, and got a call, and someone said that, you know, you need to call home. So find a way to get in contact home, and he did, and he found out that his wife had died. He said he was driving home to where he's from, and it came into him. God dumped that song into his spirit, his soul. And as a result of that, he wrote that. And then it sort of changed his life. And a year later, the Pilgrim Baptist Church out of Chicago hired him to direct his choir. And because of his music and the power of his music, he filled that 3,000-seat church and held one of the first gospel conventions. And that gospel convention has been in existence to this day. And so his work stretches broad and wide. As I said, he also was into the publishing business part of that. And they did a wonderful documentary on him called Say Amen, Somebody. and a very powerful piece that included himself and some others. But if you want to do any kind of academic work or work on Thomas Dorsey, on gospel music, you would have to use Thomas Dorsey. And he was inducted into the Gospel Hall of Fame. He was the first African-American selected to the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. And he was also the first in the Gospel Music Association Living Hall of Fame. And in 2007, he was inducted as a charter member of the Jeanette Records Walk of Fame in Indiana. His papers are presented and been preserved at Fisk University. And he has proliferated beyond that into hymnals and so many other wonderful, powerful things. But he also was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 2018 under his blues stage name, Georgia Tom Dorsey. You have chosen a powerful man to sort of theme your program tonight, and I really applaud you for that, applaud you for your vision, because people need to understand gospel music is about our people's love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but it also is a survival mechanism. We use that to survive. Our ancestors survived off of that music. When times got hard and troubles were all around, somebody might strike up a song and sing it to sort of ease their pain. So congratulations on choosing a powerful and wonderful brother.
Well, thank you so very much. We know that Dr. Dorsey did great work, those of us, and of course, you know, being raised in the church, all the great work that he's done as far as gospel hymnals and choirs and things like that. So we're just glad to have brought him to the forefront tonight. This is what Gospel Gold is all about, to expose and to introduce or reintroduce our people to our music. And I think that Dr. Dorsey has so much importance to the gospel field that we dare not have a show called Gospel Gold and do not go into this man, this great man, and all the work that he has done. I thank you so much tonight, Dr. Rogers, for being with me. I wish you could stay with me a little bit longer, because I was going to throw some questions at you. But thank you so very much for coming on tonight. And we pray God's blessing. And we're going to be listening to you tomorrow night.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen. So thank you so
very much.
Time for
an awakening.
Time for awakening. That's right.
I'll stick with you for a little while. I'll stick with you a little while longer.
Oh, you do? Well, listen, I'm going to play.
I will.
I'm going to. Huh? Okay, I'm going to play another song. Then I want to come back, and I want you to talk about what conditions could have been like or must have been like for musicians in the 30s and 40s coming up, trying to be in, to be popular, to recording and things like that. How, or traveling, what conditions do we think that they went through in the music business? I'm going to play quickly a song that was done by Sally Martin. I'll tell it wherever I go. But I tell you, you know, Dr. Dorsey did a lot of great songs himself. But there are some songs that have been made by other artists who have made those songs iconic. For instance, we just talked about Precious Lord. In my research, I have found at least 25 people who have recorded Precious Lord, Take My Hand. But when you talk about that song, Mahalia Jackson's name comes into view. So there are some songs that Dr. Dorsey wrote that other artists recorded to make them iconic songs. And I want to play one tonight by the Dixie Hummingbirds you spoke about earlier, Peace in the Valley. You only hear it here on Gospel Gold. Oh, Lord. That was the Dixie Hummingbirds with lead singer Ara H. Harris. Peace in the Valley, written by Thomas Andrew Dorsey. Dr. Rogers, what do you think conditions were like back in those days when those musicians were traveling? I know how it was in the 70s and the 80s. I was out there. But what do you think it was like in the 30s and the 40s?
30s, yeah, the conditions were very trying, challenging for African Americans. Segregation was well entrenched in the country. We had the lynchings were still very heavy. You could be lynched for the least little situation. The black laws, what was known as the black laws and the black codes, were in full operation. And so a lot of times musicians and those itinerary preachers who were traveling from place to place would have to sleep in their cars and sort of hide out behind barns and stuff because they could not get into hotels and places to sleep. And it was very difficult sometimes to find those places that were. And that was one of the reasons for the Green Book story that we recently had not too long ago that was created as a way of, you know, aiding African Americans who were traveling through the segregated South. So it was challenging. It was extremely challenging, and the publishing companies were exploited, so they would have to sing in juke joints in small places like that in order to just make a living to buy food and you know, to do what they needed to do. So I think that has to be taken in consideration as one critiques you know, those early years, you know, thinking about how the musicians did what they did. You and I both know coming up in Durham, it was the same way. It was the only reason that a lot of the musicians who were coming there is because Durham had built a black hotel.
Yes.
A small hotel, but it was nevertheless, you were black, you could stay there. The Biltmore Hotel was housed a lot of famous musicians. I wish somebody would have written a history of that years ago because that's a powerful story.
Amen. It really is. The thing about you talked about earlier about survival, how gospel music was part of the survival. Do you think that they used that as well for the survival on the road? And how does that pertain to us today?
Oh, yeah. Sharecropping, tenant farming were also the economic systems of the day during that time. So there was very little money to go around. So those songs were sort of spiritual buffers to help people get through the day-to-day walk. I recall our grandmother singing while she washed dishes or was cooking, singing some of those old songs. And even though they may not necessarily all been written by black writers, but I remember her sitting in the kitchen peeling potatoes, singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and humming those songs, you know, as she worked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think those were the buffers for our people, you know, because those were hard years. You know, like we think we're having it tough now with this COVID-19, and I mean it is tough. I'm not saying it's not tough. But man, what our ancestors went through, from the slavery to the sharecropping, Jim Crow years, you really nothing like this. I mean, it was much more intense, because it was daily. At least now we can go in our house, shut the door, don't go outside, have our food delivered, doing all kind of stuff, so we don't have to be exposed outside. They didn't. They couldn't do that. They had to go outside.
Exactly.
And they were exposed to, this time there was human elements. I think you have to look at that. And so that music was escalated because of those conditions. That's what saved our people.
Amen. I'm going to play in a few minutes Precious Lord, Take My Hand by Ella Fitzgerald. Could you elaborate on her relationship with Dr. King and the 60s movement?
Go repeat that for me. Just one. Repeat that again.
I'm going to play Precious Lord, Take My Hand in a few minutes. Could you talk a little bit about how Ella Fitzgerald and her relationship with Dr. King and the 60s civil rights movement?
Oh, you mean Mahalia Jackson? Are you?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm thinking about. I'm looking at something else. You're right. Mahalia Jackson. Yes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mahalia Jackson. Okay, right. Well, you know, Mahalia Jackson's background was very similar to Dr. Dorsey, Tommy Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
She was a powerful voice, the best of her day. In terms of that, she was a very religious woman.
Yeah.
And for her to take a song like that, she went through a lot of trials, tribulations herself. Mm-hmm. And for her to put the kind of emotion that was necessary in a song that had the meaning and the reason why Dr. Dorsey wrote that song. And she was able to play that out in a way that the average human being couldn't help but weep when you hear those words. You know, you couldn't help. I've even seen professional dance companies dance to that song in tribute to Martin Luther King. And I think he just made it famous. But, you know, over the years, anytime they sing that in church on Sunday, somebody going to cry and shout. And so it had that power. It had that kind of power.
Do you think
that song was created out of pain?
Yes. Was she a great supporter of Dr. King as well?
Oh, yeah, she very much so. She donated money to the movement, the SCLC. She was very active in helping him and performing in places that he would need the help, you know, because, you know, like yourself being a preacher, nothing beats having a songbird by your side.
Amen.
And so she played that role for Dr. King. So a lot of times he would be going to famous places to speak, and he would ask her to join him. And she would open up that song right before the sermon, you know, and by that time, everybody ready. You know,
yeah.
she got them ready.
Yeah.
So, and that's important. But, yeah, she was a very good friend to the civil rights movement. She was friends to Harry Belafonte as well, and Andrew Young, you know.
Yeah.
They were all very tight. And she was able to really aid that and aid those creatures, you know, in the work that they were doing.
There have been many people who have recorded that song, but Mahalia Jackson's rendition is the one that makes it iconic. Sally Martin, of course, who worked with Dr. Dorsey for many years, recorded that song, and so that Roberta Martin singers later on record, and also Dolores Barrett.
Right.
All of them recorded that song, but Mahalia Jackson's rendition is the one that that really brings, that stirs the soul, as you say. Let's listen to that just a minute. We cannot talk about Precious Lord, Take My Hand without playing Mahalia Jackson's rendition.
All am weak. my hand. Precious Lord, and lead me home when my way grows.
That song broke barriers in its intonation and the way the music is played. If you notice how she held those notes out to ring out the very best and the most emotion that she could probably ring out of a note, she held those notes real long. And the music itself was such a beautiful accomplishment. That was new. And so that's why that rendition of Precious Lord, Take My Hand is such an iconic piece, because no one else does it quite like that. So, Dr. Rogers, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure that another question that I wanted to ask, and I'll let you go after this. I know you may have some other things you want to do, but another thing I wanted to ask you is about the gospel music that you hear today. What do you think of the gospel music that we hear today, and how does that how does it relate to the spirituality of our people, like the old music did?
The gospel music of today?
Yes. And culturally, what does that say about us culturally as a people?
Oh, culturally. Okay. Well, we, first of all, are rhythmic people. Mm-hmm. And it's tied into our African tradition. As rhythmic people, you know, we in the African village and traditional African system, music was at the center of their day-to-day life. The drums, for instance, were the call to worship, and they provided the energy and motivation for that community to do things. And the chants, they worked by chant, they fished by chant. We carried that over into the Americas when we came here in captivity. We sang when we worked. We hummed when we worked. And it was a way of keeping our soul moving. We hummed in the ships, the slave ships, as they crossed the Atlantic. That's why the white guy that wrote the song Amazing Grace, he was confused. He didn't know what that was, but they were surviving down in those stinky, rotten, feces-filled ships. That was their way of surviving, by singing. And what he heard humming was the humming and of spiritual pain, and he claimed that he wrote the song "Amazing Grace" from that. So our people, it's a part of their everyday life. You can never take that away from African people. If you take that away, you will die.
Amen.
I think that has to be considered. That's why New Orleans is so great, because when the Africans were brought to America and they were brought into New Orleans, the slave system in New Orleans allowed them to practice some of their traditional culture, which was their music. And so they would go down to a certain part of New Orleans, what was called Congo Square.
Mm-hmm.
And Congo Square was an area where they could sing and dance and do all the things that they had done in their native land.
Wow. Well, I tell you, one of the things that we want to do here at Gospel Gold is to expose our people to as much information as we possibly can. And we thank you so very much for coming on tonight, because you have taken this to another level. Things that you talked about tonight.
And I wanted to say, I applaud you also the night you did the New Orleans music. And you did that was very powerful.
Thank you. So we're going to be listening for Black Reality Think Tank tomorrow night, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we know that you got a good program coming on.
Thank you so much, Brother Rogers.
What's the name of the program tomorrow night?
We're taking a little blues song, one of the R&B pieces, and we're asking the question, COVID-19 in the Black community, back to life, back to reality. And we're using that song by the singer LaToya Luckett. But we're asking critical questions: once the virus has been contained, what is the Black community going to look like then? Where are we going to stand? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be a depleted community as we are now sometimes? And so we want to just talk about those issues and see what our audience, listening audience, has to say. We have three individuals that have worked for government and the community and kind of know how those political processes go. So we're going to have them share some of that with us.
Well, we're going to be listening for that tomorrow night. We're excited. We know it's going to be a great program.
Thank you.
And you have a good night. Tell everyone in Milwaukee I say hello.
I sure will. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rogers. I'm going to play another selection by Mr. R.H. Harris. Now, Mr. R.H. Harris was the original lead singer from the Soul Stirrers. This is long before Sam Cooke. He was one of the original members of the Soul Stirrers, even before they left Texas and went to Chicago. Mr. R.H. Harris, I met him briefly when I was a young boy. I was probably about 7, maybe 8 or 9 years old. I met him, and I remember him, remember saying, "That's Mr. Harris." And I looked at him. He was a big, light-skinned man with curly hair. But he is a famous singer, great singer. He went out on his own and recorded many records. But I'm going to play one of the songs that he recorded by Dr. Dorsey called "I'll Never Turn Back."
I've started for heaven a long time ago in a world of temptation.
Here's The Old Ship of Zion by Roberta Martin, singers, recorded in 1949, written by Thomas Andrew Dorsey. Church, our time is almost up. We thank you for yours. We thank you for tuning in tonight to Gospel Gold. We ask that you go to the Gospel Gold Facebook page. There you will find all the pertinent information concerning Gospel Gold. We pray that you will have a great week. We want to thank Dr. Rogers for coming in tonight and enlightening us on this great man of the gospel. We know that God will continue to bless us as we continue to serve you. Have a great night. We're going home where the Lord will make a way somehow.
Like a ship is tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea. Now when the storms of life are and the fury falls on me, then I wonder what I have done that makes this race so hard to run. Then I say to myself, take courage, for the Lord will make a way somehow. Church, the Lord will make a way somehow. In beneath the cross I bow. Now he will take away his sorrow. Just let him have
your bird is now. But throw that down so heavy, and that weight is put upon my brow. But there's a sweet relief in knowing, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow. You know I try to do my best in service, try to live the best I can. Now when I choose to do the right thing, evil's present on every hand. I say to my soul, be patient, let come on my brow. But I say still to my soul, be patient, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow. Now, often there's misunderstanding. Not of all that good I do. And I go to friends for consolation. And I'll find them complaining too. Now, so many nights I've been crying, just wondering what the day is gonna bring. But I say to my soul, don't worry, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow. Did you know the Lord will make a way somehow? When the knee crosses your bow, He'll take away every sorrow. So let Him have your burdens now. When the load bears down so heavy, the weight is shone upon my brow. There's a sweet
Stone line.